The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by BarkBox. And Talking Simpsons listeners can go to getbarkbox.com/lasertime and get a free month of Doggy Delights.
Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we all have untwistable stomachs. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey, as always. Who else is here with me today?
Christopher Antista.
Henry...
Gilbert,
but damn it. Checkers Gilbert? Yes, Doggy Heaven Lover Gilbert.
The Mean Lassie. Yes, and this episode is Dog of Death, a.k.a. the better Bart's dog gets an F. And it aired. And this episode aired on March 12th, 1992. And Chris is going to tell us what happened on this mythical day in the early 90s.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Governor Bill Clinton and a pre-HW President George Bush win the South Carolina primaries. Ralph Macchio, Marissa Tomei, and Joe Pesci introduce the world to My Cousin Vinny. And Color Me Bad wins the Soul Train Award for Best Single and Song. For I Want to Sex You Up.
Dang. Did you know that Ralph Macchio was basically 30 by the third Karate Kid movie? He was like 25 in Karate Kid 1. He looks like he's 12. He was old in that movie.
He looks like the only one who hasn't gone through puberty of all those adult children.
He looks like the correct age. And
he does. He's the only one who looks like the
correct age. And on the recent 30 2010, we talk about how in Karate Kid 2, he's put on like 40 pounds of 20 pounds of muscle in between the two. And it's seemingly puberty, but wow, I am shocked to learn that about Ralph Macchio.
In Karate Kid 3, he's not like obese, but he is like kind of doughy. So he's already like a middle-aged man by the time he's still being called a kid.
I mean, that's what I love about Chris Pine in the Star Trek films, that he keeps getting doughier. he's more Shatner-y than ever.
Is he losing his hair?
I don't know about that.
That has to happen.
Ugh.
I mean, even Shatner got his hair back.
Well, yeah.
Can I play just the open? Tell us what the episode is after I play the lottery commercial.
Go for it.
I don't need your crummy job, Mr. Employer. I won the lottery.
Well, who needs employees? I won the lottery, too.
We both won the lottery. Why don't you win the lottery, too?
The state lottery, where everybody wins. Actual odds of winning 1 in 380 million.
Love that.
So this episode is about Bart's dog needing surgery, but this is the perfect classic unrelated first act, which I think works well in this case.
It's amazing.
I like this device because they lay in the important things for the second and third acts in this unrelated thing, but you don't know where the episode will take you. I mean, we do, of course, but in 1992, we didn't. And it's great that this lottery stuff leads to Santa's Little Helper and his problem.
They get to do every joke about lotteries on a state level. If you don't live in America, I guess, I think in other countries they have state-run, government-run lotteries. And it's, in a way, I think of it as like the idiot tax. It's just like my parents played the lottery every week, for years. And if you told my dad, hey, they're going to tax you $2,500 a year about this, he'd be like, they're never going to do that. but instead, he just fucking gives it to them for the chance to win $1 million like that. It's ridiculous.
We do get those crazy things in California, like the Powerball, like the $200 million Powerball and things like that.
I don't buy lottery tickets, but every once in a while I think, like, I should be doing that because somebody has to win. It's like, that should actually be the slogan for the lottery.
Yeah.
Somebody has to win. Why not you?
This is going to sound strange, but working in a grocery store opened my eyes to the desperation and sadness of the lottery, because as I was working, I was noticed like, oh, all these people on the last like days of their life, all they're doing is coming in every day and buying lottery tickets.
It's
like, it seems like it's made for the elderly. Like it's an elderly ripoff scam or whatever.
What do you need money for if you're that old? Like, you've actually lived to see your bank account earn interest, which I haven't yet.
None of us will.
Well, and I've I've read several articles that are profiles of people who win the lottery and won, and it like it pretty much just ruins your life.
Yeah, it's like getting all that money and not knowing how to handle it.
The one I read that still sticks with me was this man who, this older man in the South, won like over $100 million, a ridiculous sum of money, and he said like he was going to build this mega church because God was the greatest. And then as he's building this super church, he then becomes like his kids, he spoils his kids and his grandkids rotten, and so they become assholes and drug addicts and like accidentally kill somebody. And then there's stories of him like just going to every strip club in the state and also just him like this disgusting debauchery they mentioned in it is that he goes to a restaurant and there's this woman he finds attractive there with her family. He's like, if you strip down your underwear right now, I'll give you $10,000.
Wow.
Like, this is $10,000 right now. And
some burnless level spending right
now. And in the article, they talk about how, like, we're poor. Like, $10,000 to us would have paid off, paid all our bills. Like, and then some. We'd have been great. And it's nothing to him. Like, and he, and.
Yeah. I think when you're that rich, it's all about, like, how can I buy other people's dignity? It
exactly.
must be so easy.
Oh, it feels so good.
Yes. But, just like with when Abe Simpson was giving away his money, everyone in Springfield has ideas of how they want to spend this.
I just have to play. I love this gag with Barney revealing the sum of money.
You know, I heard the jackpot's up to $130
million. $130
million? Did you say $130 million?
Wait.
Yeah!
Wow!
I love that Barney wow. It's happened like three times this season.
I'm falling in love with Barney all over again. I never expected
it's
this.
It's a very vaudeville thing.
Yeah. And yes, it seems very Abbott and Costello.
They love dusting off those old jokes and putting them in a 90s context.
Barney's so great here. I fear that, I think because of their great performance in Homer at the Bat, that Lenny and Carl are just around the corner to take the Barney lines from Barney and replace him as Homer's sounding board. But
they're,
he's still kind of that.
They're nowhere near as dumb and sloppy and drunk
and screamy.
Yeah. Barney has another great joke in this episode, too.
Yeah.
But I also, I love, you know, we don't see much of Sanjay. Sanjay's pretty much disappeared at
this
point. But him just saying, like, don't, when he, Apu's brother. He
says, yes.
Don't sleep with my wife. I promise nothing.
Yes. I literally didn't get that because I did not want to be yelled at again for, like, anti-Brown shit. Like, I was about for liking Short Circuit.
we're still on the fence about Apu, I guess. But,
This is, I love this line from Homer. It's so unreasonably optimistic.
Ever guess what happened, Marge? Are you ready? I have a feeling that we may win the lottery!
But we never, ever.
Now, I know you're excited, but calm down and listen to me carefully. Go get all your money.
I buy one lottery ticket a week with the girls at the hair salon. We each play our birthday, and that's enough excitement for me.
You don't understand, Marge. The lottery is the one ray of hope in my otherwise unbearable life. the lottery and you.
That's. I didn't even know how well that would work in audio form. That you can hear Senna's little helper croaking
like
in the sound
collapsing.
Clip.
He like collapses three or four times throughout, like laying the seeds for acts two and three.
It's great. It's great use of him there, and that they draw him with a gray nose to show him sick or two.
Like Radio Bart just shows Springfield acting like collective morons. It's awesome.
They're just such a mob, and I do love the reference to Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, which is one of the most famous American short stories there is. Do you have a clip?
No, I don't. I didn't get it because like I need to look that up because I don't know what that is.
It's one of many things thrown to the fire.
Yes. Which
at the end
you
of
see
this,
the reappearance of Bill Cosby's Fatherhood.
Oh yeah, and so, Fahrenheit 451.
Very good joke.
Yeah.
What I really liked here is like people in Springfield are dumb as we established their education system sucks as last episode, but also because of the lottery and people like the books in Springfield Elementary.
Yeah,
but there's already one big winner. Our state school system, which gets fully half the profits from the lottery.
Just think what we can buy with that money. History books that know how the Korean War came out. Math books that don't have that base six crap in them. And a state-of-the-art detention hall where children are held in place with magnets.
Magnets. Always with the magnets.
Now, that's like the first non-Bouvier Julie Kavner voice.
I believe at the Springfield Retirement Castle she played
She
played the receptionist.
They rarely use Julie for other voices.
But,
because
I feel
like
this is one of the last times she did it. But about Shirley Jackson's The Lottery real quick. Written in June 1948. But it is a short story, so there wouldn't be a book. Like, it's like 10 pages or something.
I mean, if you buy it, it'll be like the lottery and other stories or
whatever.
Yeah,
that might be it.
They sell it based on the lottery's reputation.
Yeah, but it's a great... It's also, pretty much a Twilight Zone style.
And I had to look this up. The Korean War in 1953.
Well, MASH was all about that, right?
Yes. Well, funny. A veiled reference to Vietnam. But, yeah. And I went and looked up Base 6 math, and it was way too complicated for me to understand.
Is that one of Obama's sinister plots to teach our children about the one world government?
No, but what the closest thing I could find to the truth of the matter is that like it was a temporary better math system.
This might be unrelated, but the great parody songwriter, not parody songwriter, but like novelty comedy songwriter, Tom Lehrer, who did like the Elements song and things like that, he did a song called New Math in the 60s, all about what this new math they're trying to teach kids, which they eventually stopped doing, I think.
Yes, and so like the... What I did find, because I couldn't understand what it meant. Maybe things are in denomination of six. I don't know. I'm an idiot. Don't trust me. But that
I wasn't saying you're an idiot.
But Chris. That I am a moron. I have a math disability in my college. I never took a math class.
Wow.
But it did signify that like those books could not get out of poor schools. So before The Simpsons even aired, there were poor schools, and you knew they were poor because they were teaching basic math. Huh.
But unfortunately, they did like it would be a school filled with more minorities at than the Springfield.
They're all yellow.
Would have
people.
All this. That's true.
And all Asian. This is one of the best jokes in Simpsons history.
If
in
you're
my
talking
opinion.
To King Homer.
I am. Yes. But I don't know how it plays in audio, but it's great.
There's one great line.
So, what are you going to do with your share of the money, kid?
Put it in the bank. Give it to the poor.
What do kids know about spending money?
What are you going to do, Homer?
Hey, Homer, what'd you do? Get a haircut or something?
Look closer, Denny.
Oh, I know what it is. You're the biggest man in the world now. And you're covered in gold.
14-karat gold? Take a hike, boss. I'm running things now.
All hail King Homer.
He just is covered in riches and jewels and crowns. Okay, so I love
motivationless evil is the goal of his money.
Homer is still covered in gold, but it's actually not the best gold, a 14-karat gold.
But the anime, like, top five animated moments ever in the series for me is the pan up of Homer laughing, covered in jewels and gold. Yeah.
Laughing like a mad king.
It's beautiful. And I love it so much.
It's my favorite fantasy sequence, maybe... tied with what happens when he robs the quickie mart.
Yeah,
it's pretty good too. And so when they read off the numbers, it's sad that out of 50 picks, Homer doesn't have a 17 or a 3 on one of them. Yeah. Not even on one.
I guess that's all you need.
I will now draw the first winning number.
I've got so many tickets I can't lose.
The first number is 17.
No!
You can still win some money if you have 5 out of 6.
Woohoo!
And the second number is 3.
No! 3. I knew we wouldn't win. Well, why didn't you tell the rest of us? Why did you keep it a secret?
Jesus. He violently throws the TV tray across the room. I forgot how violent he gets in that moment.
Like, I don't know about you guys.
You had to be 10.
Yeah.
This was uncomfortable for me because it's too real. Ooh. Like, I've definitely seen a father who gets upset about something and like not going his way or him being wrong about something, and instead of like taking it with pride or dignity, he like lashes out at his family.
So who can I blame this on?
Like, especially like, you had to be 10.
Yeah, that was kind of like a dark, like sad moment.
It's the only real dark, like, because I teased in the other one, but I just want to say it because it's from the hockey episode. Mm. And it's just like, you better win or I'll kill you. Ha ha, Dad.
And Bart like flinches.
Yes, as if it's happened before.
That episode is the worst. Homer has never been worse than that.
That is the ultimate jerk ass. One small nitpick. Did anyone else think the lottery tickets looked weird? I always think they look weird. They're like receipts or something.
Yeah, I think they look like literal like Broadway theater tickets.
Yeah, like maybe something was miscommunicated to the animators. But they
looks like a small playbill.
And quite an act break to say, oh, the dog is dead.
Yeah, but before that, the one who wins has to be
so
talked about.
I love it.
And the final number is 49.
38. 49. Oh, my God. I won!
Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Ken Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go. In other news... tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed. Goodbye!
Mix-up.
And the spin on the chair. Yeah. From
the animation of him finding out is great to frame through one at a time. It's amazing.
It's a beautiful bit. Not only is it a beautiful bit, it's one of the very few pieces of Simpsons continuity. Because they kept to this, that Ken Brockman is outraged. I guess he could be as a weatherman.
I mean...
My friend's dad was the most famous weatherman in my town.
Oh, really? And no, I mean, he says he has a $500,000 a year job later, but...
It was not a $500,000 a year job.
No. He still married to Stephanie the Weather Lady, who we barely see?
I don't know.
I wonder if they were on the...
I do know they visited his house later on, but it's hard to tell if it's the same house or smaller, but... I think they did stick it with him being super rich or just like him.
Oh, he did. Ken Brockman has been very, very rich ever since.
Yeah. But he says he has a $500,000 salary, so he's already rich to begin
with. It's true. Yeah. Maybe that's just...
Especially in a podunk town like Springfield.
I could have sworn his massive winning is mentioned again.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so when they end the act break with saying, your dog is dead.
Oh, we got it.
Oh, well, we lost the money, but at least we've still got each other.
Hey, the dog's dead.
So he's not breathing. He's not breathing when they draw it. And then when they come back, he's breathing again. And as a kid, I definitely thought, that's a fucking cheat. You drew him differently. And
you're
now,
just like Kathy Bates in Misery.
Yeah, well, now I see as a grown-up, Lisa voices that and says, like, no, he's not dead.
No,
you lied. Like, you lied to the audience.
Oh, was that
dead.
How you read it?
That's how I read it now. I'm just saying.
Because
like,
the sequence is overly long, and I'm like, what? Why would I, if I was syndicating the show with more commercials, I would cut this part. That makes a lot more sense.
And then
sense.
Everyone yells at Grandpa and he leaves.
I think it was them commentating on, like, we did cheat you. We said he was dead and drew him as dead, and he isn't.
I can definitely read it as that this time.
But they got to at least meet the most awesome veterinarian of all time.
Yeah.
This is the part of the job I hate.
Hey, you did the best you could.
I love animals. I spend my life saving them, and they can't thank me. Well, the parrots can, but anyway, let's see what's wrong with this little fella.
That's after he does a 3-point shot with a hamster into a garbage can.
The animation on that, for some reason, is my favorite. It looks so squishy. It looks like I threw a boglin up against the wall.
The Foley is great too. Yeah. I don't know what they threw against whatever, but this is a parody of the show Ben Casey, which was a doctor show in the 60s, ran for about 6 years. Yeah, the character and the music is a parody of that show.
I still have not seen one frame of that show.
It might all be on YouTube for all I know, but it's never been. I mean, when I was watching Nick at Night a lot, I never saw this at all.
It was, even though it aired like 150 something episodes. My parents were the one, my mom told me, like, oh, that's a Ben Casey guy. I was like, who now? And I was somebody who watched Nick at Night all the time, but it wasn't on Nick at Night. And that he's drawn to be the same. And he would come back in the April Fool's Day episode as the doctor who goes from being a veterinarian to an actual doctor.
So he fell out of dentistry school, became a veterinarian, but then actually became a doctor after that. Wow. What a path that the guy took. Who doesn't have a name, I think?
But $750 is how much it is. And
he's twisted stomach.
I'm afraid that your dog has a twisted stomach. He needs an operation to correct it. Or he'll die.
How much will it cost?
$750.
Oh, dear.
This is never an easy decision. It's an awful lot of money.
Hmm. Well, I guess we'll have to talk it over.
Talk what over? What's there to talk about?
This has not happened to me. I assume you guys might have stories. It looks like I'm seeing
some
remembrances happening.
Not me. I know my friend whose mother had a ton of cats. Mm. And cats are abundant and cheap and get sick constantly and are totally not worth saving. But,
and they require very expensive kidney surgery a lot of the time.
So
this is something that makes me feel
different. Who just texted me. The family was even having money problems, but the mother's like, we gotta save this cat. And they do. Mm. And they, whenever you see it, he used to be like, the cat was like drooling, it would like fall off shit. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. I wish they had never changed
drunk.
It. And then it became okay, and then they referred to it as the $5,000 kitty with anger and vitriol.
Yeah. $750 seems like a steal now, based on what people tell me.
$750 is such a like specific number that could bankrupt the Simpsons, but I think this is one of the last times they seriously treated the idea of they're out of money and they have to cut back on something.
Yeah.
This was a plot in like four other episodes we've done.
The last one was Burnsall's Burnsall's the plant, in which it's very, very similar, in which they all cut back on something, except in this case, Homer does not drink beer. In that episode, he was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, in that one and in Lisa's Pony, when they're like, you're going to have to stop drinking beer. Nah, I won't be doing that.
Wow, okay, so I forgot about that one.
I love his reaction. I can't tell if they didn't want to animate anything, but you have to stop drinking beer.
with me, my family, like, we would get the operations. I was a little better. My family was a little better off, but we didn't get pets until, like, we had dogs when I was a little kid, and once they both got, like, inoperable, they had operations, but neither survived their surgeries, but it's very funny. But then in my teens, we got these two cats, and, you know, when they needed surgeries, we got them, and I was definitely on Bart's side then of just, like, what's there to talk about? It's a living thing that lives with us.
It's our family member.
We got to keep it. But now on the other side of things is somebody who would actually have to spend the thousands of dollars.
I don't know what I do. Like, I don't even want pets to make that choice.
It is a dark way of thinking of just like, well, there's 8 million cats out there. I'll just get another damn cat. But I also love pets, and they are very special. I don't know what I do. Like, I don't know what I would do in that case.
You're forgetting all about doggy heaven.
Ooh.
I can't help but notice we're leaving the hospital. When's the dog going to get his operation?
Later. First, I want to tell you about the most wonderful place in the world, doggy heaven. In doggy heaven, there's mountains of bones, and you can't turn around without sniffing another dog's butt. And all the best dogs are there. Old Yeller, and about 8 lassies. And
is there a doggy hell?
Well, of course. It couldn't be a heaven if there weren't a hell.
Who's in there?
Oh, Hitler's dog and that dog Nixon had. What's his name? Chester?
Checkers.
Yeah.
Lisa knows.
One of the lassies is in there, too. The mean one. One that mauled Timmy.
This is a very life and hell scene in which an adult is lying to a child and the child is asking questions the adult can't answer.
And he has to keep making new stuff up.
I don't have anywhere else to mention this, but I've become... I'm still on my trial of Sling television, so I haven't watched television in like 6 years live. And I'll just... So if I'm just working on a laptop, I'll put on TCM all day. And there was a movie called Son of Lassie, I think one of the first color films.
Didn't Lassie start as a series of films before? Okay, I thought so.
And Lassie literally fights Nazis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
It's amazing.
It's terrible, but it's great.
It's amazing that Lisa knows Checkers, which if you're not a political junkie or political historian, you don't know who this is. But I believe it was in the run-up to Eisenhower with him with Richard Nixon as vice presidential candidate with Eisenhower, where they were saying that he was taking bribes. That was one of the things that he had been taking kickbacks, bribes, political payoffs. And he had this amazing speech at the time where he talked about how he refuted everything and said the only gift he'd ever gotten was a dog named Checkers, who his kids love. And please don't blame this on old Checkers.
But like you said, $700.
Honey, $750 is a lot of money. We really can't afford this operation.
You're going to just let him die?
I know you're upset.
Darn right I'm upset.
Bart, watch your language. Oh, you did. Sorry.
I'm not going to let our dog die. And that's it.
Love that. Also, they would later use, when I think it's in season 5 with the Brad Goodman episode, where they have a montage of Marge's complaints. I always thought it was cheap that they used that one of like, Bart, watch your language, because they don't keep the second part of the joke.
About that. Yeah.
I thought like, that's not fair to count that as Marge complaint.
How in the 138th episode Spectacular, and showing signs of Homer being stupid, they use Halloween clips. Like, that's off the record, sir.
That's inadmissible. Objection.
But one of the best scenes ever that doesn't play well in audio is Homer going to Burns' office.
Love it.
Yeah. I have a very sick dog.
Yeah.
And the tapping of the button is so great. But Mr. Burns on dogs is just like, this is exactly what Harry Shearer doesn't do as the character anymore.
And the way Homer is dragged away by the goons, and it's the same goons he always uses. He's like, oh, well, thanks for your time.
Yeah.
But Burns' performance is so good.
Yeah.
What makes a man endanger his job and, yes, even his life by asking me for money?
People like dogs, Mr. Burns.
Nonsense. Dogs are idiots. Think about it, Smithers. If I came into your house and started sniffing at your crotch and slobbering all over your face, what would you say?
If you did it, sir.
Exactly. You'd be fit to be tied.
Dogs.
Dogs.
Dogs. I think later Burns would pick up on that innuendo, but this time he was just like, no, you agree with me.
Well, yeah, I get confused.
He was so ready to kill a bunch of greyhounds, too, later on. So I'm not surprised by that, though. Homer just borrowed $5,000 from Burns.
That's
so
true.
He couldn't lend him $750 again.
God, I wonder if he paid that back, in the continuity of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Or maybe if the Grateful Gelding gave him back some money.
it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. He should have got at least like a $3,000 refund or something.
Nothing was wrapped up in a neat little package.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Are you enjoying this episode? Are you a Santa's Little Helper fan? I know I am, and this is the superior dog episode of the third season. Is it not? Well, I figured if you like dogs or have a dog, you'd also like BarkBox. BarkBox is committed to making doggies happy, and they work with local and independent businesses to achieve a monthly box of goodies for the little puppy in your life. For you humans out there, BarkBox is a delivery of 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys curated around a surprise theme each month for the best friend in your life, and by that I mean dogs. BarkBox is the joy of a million belly scratchers. They ship to the U.S. and Canada and start as low as $20, and a modern dog light for me is having things shipped to my door that I don't have to think about. So if you have a little puppy with this scratchety tum tum and a cute whittle face, perhaps he'd enjoy a box showing up at the house containing chews, treats, vitamins, toys, all tailored to your dog's size. If your dog has any allergies, know that everything is soy and wheat free, and BarkBox can adjust things based on what your dog likes. And of course, you're free to exchange items if anything's not jiving with your pooch. And I wanted to encourage Talking Simpsons listeners to put a wag in their pooch's step with a free month of BarkBox, which you'll get by going to getbarkbox.com/lasertime. That's a free month. Let us know what you think. Thank you, BarkBox. Back to the show. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
You know what does deserve a remake is Skatetown USA, a roller disco movie that came out in like 1979, so
yeah.
too late.
To take advantage of the roller disco craze,
which
as it
pretty
was
much
dying.
Died. But
totally
like,
dead, yeah.
This was like the Expendables of like sitcom actors from like late 70s, early 80s.
I think we may have, like Scott Baio shows up, and Patrick Swayze in his first movie role is really good.
But yeah, it really is an all-star cast. There's Scott Baio, Horshack's in there,
Mr. Cat,
Flip Wilson, Billy Barty.
A lot of dead people.
Oh. All of these people who had such notoriety in the late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. and the star of it is this like fucking
ugh.
Waspy dunderhead. He looks just like the person.
Like, he looks like teenage Mark Hamill, but like if you just pinched like on XY coordinates and just stretched him more and didn't let him actually
like
the age.
Beginning of Mario 64?
Yes. And then had a huge He-Man mane for hair. You're supposed to be like, yay him, and then Patrick Swayze rolls in, and like you can hear all the women even in the audience go like, oh,
ooh,
man.
Yeah.
And it's like, even as a guy, I'm like, I would rather fuck that guy. Like, let's be real. Like, that dude looks better, dances better, better actor. Why am I rooting for this goober hero? Yeah. Like, who cares?
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
So this episode is full of callbacks. That's what I was going to say. Mm. Like the Bill Cosby book in the fire, straight from Saturdays of Thunder. Mm-hmm. And then also when they have they have a bunch of cutaways to previous dog stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have the Michael Jackson Expressway is featured Swartzwelder County. And when they put up the Lost Dog signs, this is getting way ahead of ourselves, but when they put up the Lost Dog signs, it covers up Skinner's Where Have You Seen Me thing.
That's right.
From Bart to the Murderer.
I feel like they were more devoted in these early seasons to being like, we can keep track of things that happen.
I remember them being interviewed at the time about them, and they were talking about it in regards to VCRs, because they were learning that more people had VCRs, so they would hide things so people would pause and rewind, and they called them VCR gags in the article.
Yeah. Well, and Burns has conquered the show at this point. Oh, like he's the writers are so in love with him and just like, can we get Burns in here again? Can we get Burns? Like
he is kind of forced into this episode. I like the resolution, but it's like it had to be Burns, I guess. You know,
I guess. Yeah. Well, I mean,
well, first of all, the Simpsons have to make a shitload of sacrifices to afford the operation for SLH, as he's called on popular message boards.
I'm afraid we're just going to have to make a few sacrifices. Homer, you're going to have to give up beer for a while. Bart, from now on, you'll have to get your hair cut for free at Springfield Barber College.
No problemo.
I'm going to give up buying my weekly lottery ticket, and I found a way to stretch the food budget. Fried chicken night will now be organ meat night. Ham night will be spam night. And pork chub night will now be chub night.
Chub? I don't even know what that is.
Lisa, I'm afraid we'll have to stop getting you those volumes of Encyclopedia Generica from the grocery store.
But, Mom, next week is Volume 4, Copernicus Through Elephantiasis.
By the way, Lisa had the best... Lisa's stuff is the most expensive. A weekly encyclopedia?
Did you guys know about this whole phenomenon of encyclopedias being sold through grocery stores?
Yeah, I remember seeing them at the
grocery store.
It wasn't
being done at this point, I don't think.
It was.
It wasn't?
At this time, my mom was buying them, and she did the whole set. Like, it was like $10 a week, and you get the whole set. And I was like, art is imitating life. Like, this is actually happening in the outside of my town. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
I just remember the Encyclopedia Britannica
commercials. That nerdy jerkwad.
Yeah, and I want to report to you. Wikipedia has completely replaced it. I also, like Homer, I didn't know what chub is, but I looked it up. Yeah, it's a fish. It's just a cheap fish, like chub of mackerel.
I learned that from playing like Animal Crossing and games like that, where you catch chubs.
That's right, yeah. So it's just cheap fish, replacing pork with cheap fish.
I don't even know what that is.
And I think now the cheap fish would probably like be tilapia or something.
Yeah, or just like tuna. Tuna feels like the cheapest you can get.
When I was like number crunching from this, knowing how much drinking Homer does... Compared to like, okay, Bart gets haircut, well, once a month, maybe?
Yeah.
That's pretty extravagant.
It's like $10.
But even then, meanwhile, Marge maybe spends, what, $5 a week on a lottery ticket?
$1. $1. She says ticket singular.
And meanwhile, Homer... Like, his drinking has to be 90% of that.
I'm guessing it's probably like $100
a week.
I think
it's the encyclopedias.
You think so?
I thought, because I remember like, Mom, yeah, let's get an Encyclopedia Britannica. And like, it's, they don't tell you the price in the commercial because this is how much it is. And I was like, Homer, woo! Oh, that's way too much. No. I don't know why I had this clip, but Kent Brockman returns to his job.
Oh, so great.
Yes, I'm back. Kent Brockman is not the kind of man who would leave a $500,000 a year job just because he won a lottery. Hey. I'm a journalist.
Well, he's got all the money in the world, but there's one thing he can't buy.
What's that?
A dinosaur.
To retroactively get that line of the show.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah,
that's
like
the joke.
The thing is, that's a funny joke. But I think that beat makes it even better. Yeah. Just like Homer, just like
he has
this thing.
There are very few beats like that. He can't say love because
but the animation was not a place for beats like that or that kind of pacing. It never was until The Simpsons.
But so they get the surgery. They're happy for a little bit, and then it starts sitting in like all the sacrifices. It's easy to say you're going to make those sacrifices, but when you actually have to make them, it kind of sucks.
Everyone's resentful. Lisa has to use a copy of something she found.
I know
the bus
you can't understand me, but you're a lousy dog and I hate you.
Oh, man.
Not now.
Can't you see I'm reading a third-rate biography of Copernicus I found at the bus station?
Dumb dog.
Now, if I was Marge and knew I didn't win the lottery, like, I'd have lost my mind. Like, I would have been consumed by anger and just like, I could have had $40,000.
Did we miss the fact that she could have won? Her numbers were the ones that won?
Her numbers were the ones.
She would have won $40,000.
$40,000.
That's still nothing to sneeze at for The Simpsons.
That would have fixed
all their
problems.
I eat that shit for breakfast. I have a Patreon.
I paid those in taxes this year, I think.
Yeah.
On one podcast.
And also.
I just paid like six times that just to the IRS for a monthly bill.
And I also do appreciate that.
Boo yourself.
They made sure to stick in a joke here. About how the lottery doesn't help schools. Like, it is such a crock of shit when they say, like, and it goes to schools, but And my understanding is that in most states where they say that, they have cut budget from other sections to go to schools, and it just replaces it. It's not like an avalanche of money to schools. Schools get nothing. We, for the price of like one airplane that will fight no one, we could have...
can't work in the rain.
Yes. We could have more competitive schools, but who cares? And just... it was so fulfilling to see Skinner just
one
like...
One eraser.
Yeah, one. Just him calling
fight
out
back.
Their shit.
Fight then, back, Skinner.
And then they still aired it. Though too, yeah, that he,
but like, they cut. Yeah. It's great. I love the cut.
Six for five. That his second reference to his time.
This
and
is great. For some reason, I totally forgot that they bring Burns back. He brings Burns back because Burns got an old dog named Crippler who can't exactly be released as efficiently as his other hounds.
What's wrong with Crippler?
He's getting on, sir. He's been here since the late '60s.
Yes. I'll never forget the day he bagged his first hippie. That young man didn't think it was too groovy.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, that's saying groovy.
Conservatively speaking, that dog is 23 years old in 1992. Yes, if he best. Was born in 69,
yeah,
maybe he's 22, going to hit 23 in a week. But,
yeah,
man.
And so also, yeah, so Sam's Little Helper has escaped. Because
he's escaped, and then Burns finds him at the pound and becomes his hound.
But it's also weird that Burns went to the pound himself. Yes. And speaking of callbacks, that's another one, too.
Yes.
Ned, when he's there,
that's his assassins.
He's wearing his assassins because I think at that point it's the animators caring more. They're just like, oh, he says he's got his running shoes on. Let's draw him with his old running shoes.
He's filled with callbacks. That's crazy.
Yeah. Two specifically Dog of Death in the case of assassins.
When the scene started, I'm like, why is he wearing the assassins? And then it's like, oh, you've got your running shoes on.
Yes. Yeah.
I was so ready to call this a piece of reused animation from that episode, but no.
And that's also, when he's lost, that's where you see the Michael Jackson Expressway on the map, which has some little cute map jokes for SLH. And
what was the Schwarzwelder Field or whatever?
Schwarzwelder County.
Yeah, I saw
written
that.
By Schwarzwelder. Okay. John Schwarzwelder, written
59
episodes of show. Yeah, actually, in a previous zoom out of the counties, it was shown to be that. Mm. And he's written 59 episodes of show, more than I think anybody still, even with 500-something episodes. I think
maybe Matt Selman has him beat. He's been on the show for like 20 years now.
I think he's catching up with him, but I also feel like that's like saying, like, I don't know, somebody broke the home run records when they changed the rules or something.
Oh, man, he's not
going to
be a guest
anymore.
Some
sort of sports reference. I need to say that, but Schwarzwelder did it when it was pure, man.
Quick question for you guys. Was this the first time we actually saw Burns release the hounds? No. Thanksgiving. Barbara's Thanksgiving. I just thought of that.
Which is another kind of callback later when Bart can't get out. I think he was thinking it almost felt like he had the sense memory of, I jumped through, like he's putting his hands against a hard wall, like, no, I jumped through a bush here, I got out, I remember.
And, man, they were really like thinking about the Simpsons history with this episode.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
It's even the same cut in of the scary dog face when Bart's about to be attacked.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, but anyway, they're training him, and meanwhile they're looking for him, and there was the callback to Skinner being missing. I did also love Barney's apartment.
Yes.
Like, I'm looking for my dog, too.
Dude, do we hear like a woof or something? Yeah, I thought so. It's like
muffled woof.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot to mention this in the previous episode. One of my favorite visual gags in the last episode, Separate Vocations, is kind of called back to in this one. When Marge sees the cake destroyed and like, bad dog, and... Then Bart shows her the series of photos of Homer tearing apart the cake. That is so fucking funny.
Devouring it like a lion on the Serengeti, just leaning into it.
There's like pieces flying everywhere. Yeah.
And so in this episode, it's the same deal of Marge looking at photos of Homer that embarrass her and just are going like, like her just reacting to, but it's Homer battling Santa's Little Helper.
I think some of them may be a little too mean, like him kicking the dog.
Yeah,
the boxing, like the parody of the boxing kangaroo photo. I like that one a lot, but him just like kicking the dog across the room, like, that's a little too far for Homer.
Yeah, and even the one picture they do pick is like just right before Homer strangles the dog.
Fingers coming
like,
into the
fingers
frame,
coming in the dog. SLH looking at him.
But Homer has a change of heart. He misses the dog.
I'm starting to think we'll never see him again.
That was his dish, and that was his leash, and that's where he took a whiz on the rug.
Homer, get a hold of yourself. Even if he has passed on, there's no reason to cry. Remember, doggy heaven?
Oh, Marge, there is no such place. Or, to put it another way, there is.
I love it. So the Clockwork Orange stuff, too. I don't think I'd see Clockwork Orange for another like five or six years. Mm. And so and I definitely didn't get
there's somebody
this,
in that footage that looks like a specific caricature.
There is. Yes. The dog being held up by its ears. Well, Bob, you know.
It's Lyndon Johnson holding up a dog. I don't know the
President Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Do you know the context behind that photo?
No, all I know about him is that he loves Vietnam and had a big dick.
I think he came under fire. Oh, I guess he does. I think he came under fire for that picture, but I guess he was like, well, the dog loves it or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally. I just took that as like.
How do you know that he loves it? He keeps on living.
He's an old man, and in his generation, they treated dogs harsher or something. Yeah. He's like, it's fun. But yeah, it's just this picture of him holding a beagle up by his ears. And it's, I mean, the beagle's like feet are on the ground. It's not like he's ripping his ears off. Crazy. But yeah, it's a famous photo, at least to the generation of The Simpsons.
And speaking
writers.
Of his dick, Chris, if you go online, you can hear a lot of great audio of him talking about his balls, right?
Yeah.
These things are really riding up around my balls.
Johnson, it's not just a clever name.
What a miserable guy. But he did sign the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah,
and,
true.
He did good things, too. But anyway.
No president can be that ugly again. That's all I'm saying.
I also really like the first person view of SLH attacking Burns from Poka Poka Poka.
And his like Poka, Bruce
Poka,
eye.
Poka Poka Poka.
Yeah, Burns.
And he chews out Burns' stomach of like, that's what they will do. They will rip out the entrails of a real person.
I like Burns as if that was a Girl Scout, I would have been bothered by now.
Bothered by now.
Yeah.
And I didn't grab a clip. It. Just him in his life-preserving chamber. Like, there's a young boy. Bruce Jones!
I like his incubation chamber,
Smithers in a Girl Scout costume. Is that another gay joke? Now that I think about it.
Gay joke.
It's hard to... Like, the line between sycophant and gay is very blurry in these episodes right now.
It's a feminization of him, to be sure. And I think there's at least comedy they're looking for in feminizing him like that. And I also did like Bart visiting Kent Brockman's estate, and the llama just bit Teddy Long. Good. Oh, good. Like, but yeah, and a cute ending where it hits Santa's Little Helper remembers at the last moment, oh, this is Bart, and saves Bart from
Bart goes door to door looking for Santa's Little Helper and happens to come to Burns' store, however far away that is from Evergreen Terrace.
Yeah, it's the corner of Croesus and Mammon.
That's right,
Again, they showed it. They kind of dropped that running joke.
And everybody wants to pet Santa's Little Helper again.
Oh, I love that line.
Let me pet him again.
I've already petted him for 10 minutes.
I know, I want to pet him again.
You can pet the cat.
The cat? What's the point?
Get that cat out of the way.
Yeah, I want to be a dog.
So cute.
Tired of working.
That text over the screen line,
it's a little weak. Like someone shot a duck and a cat got sick. It's just like, I get what you're trying to do.
I mean, it's a parody of no animals were harmed in the filming of this. But Simpsons themselves have done this better.
Yeah.
I did like when Marge indicates the cat you could pet it. Even Snowball is like,
presents herself
pet me, please. And but Snowball too gets such.
It looks like she was presenting for something more than petting.
Well, Al Jean and Mike Reese talk on the commentaries a lot. Like, we were so worried about these shows that we put in too many jokes sometimes, and that end, thing at the end did really feel like them trying a little too hard. Like, no, the episode could have just ended. You didn't need this superimposed text.
Well, I noticed in this batch we just did, and especially in this episode, there were a few scenes that as a kid I was like, why'd they add this extra scene with reused animation?
There were a few of those,
And I think I now see it from a storytelling standpoint of them just saying, like, the specific one I think of is they're sad about Santa's Little Helper, and then Bart says, well, I'm not giving up. I'm going to knock on every door I can, but it's season 2 footage. And I now see that they did that from a storytelling standpoint of they seem so sad, and then they're going to cut to Bart knocking on doors, and it doesn't naturally flow. Like, it seems like they've given up. So you need a scene of Bart saying, well, I haven't given up, and that's why in this next scene you're going to see me knocking on doors.
It's not as glaring as other reused animation would be and has been since.
The whole Santa's Little Helper, once he escapes, like, everything seems so abrupt.
Yeah,
because like that's what the show's about, but it doesn't really get there until the last 5 minutes.
Happens
of the
episode. Minute 18 of 22. Yeah.
it's sped up a bit, but I wouldn't have cut any of that great lottery stuff to just have them sad. I mean, it feels more like a season 1 thing of like the dog is lost instead of season three feels like, let's make fun of the lottery and people's mania over it.
But above all, we all agree it's better than Dog of Death. Which
yes,
I
yep,
think
totally.
We voted our least favorite.
Mean,
of
Bart's Dog Gets an F.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Dog of Death is better than Bart's Dog Gets an F.
Yes,
sorry.
Bart's Dog Gets an F. Yeah. Fuck Tracy Ullman.
Every time we said it on
Son
the
of
Bart's
a bitch.
We said it so many times on the Bart's Dogs Get an F episode, like, Dog of Death is better, and every time I thought of a joke, I was thinking of the Dog of Death equivalent.
Yeah, it's like, where's the bad haircut? Where's the Encyclopedia Generica? Yeah. Oh, right. But I think this could be the last Santa's Little Helper show until, like, season 8, maybe.
Until the Laddie one, perhaps.
Yeah.
So, well,
I can't think of another one. Maybe Stampy counts.
Stampy a little bit, yeah. Actually, no, before that, there's 2001 Dirt Greyhounds,
that's
which
right.
that's a
yeah.
season
6.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You miss casual sex. But we'll get to that later.
So thanks so much for listening, folks. This has been Talking Simpsons. I've been your host, Bob Mackey. If you want to find me, look up me up on Twitter. I am Bob Servo. I also write for usgamer.net and somethingawful.com. You can listen to my podcast, Retronauts. It's a classic gaming podcast. It's really great. Comes out every Monday. Go to retronauts.com or usgamer.net to listen to it. Please do. Everybody else, what do you do? Where can we find you?
LaserTimePodcast.com. It's where this podcast and a bunch of others live, as well as some articles that we write on occasion somewhere. A while back, I did something about, 10 things you didn't know about Roger Rabbit. Yeah. And no, it is not a listicle with two paragraphs. It is thousands of words with images you've never seen before, including things Disney doesn't want you to remember.
I thought I knew everything and my mind was blown.
Ah, thank you very much.
I was ready
much.
To out-nerd
it's
you,
my
Chris.
Favorite movie, and it's, I can't stop learning things about it. I love it.
And if you want to hear the first season of this,
true.
This is supported by Patreon.com/LaserTime.
And I wanted to say, what LaserTime is the show that we did that sort of started all this, and it picks a singular pop culture topic, and we do research, we grab sound clips a lot like this, and Bobby was on one that we did about cartoons based off live action movies.
Ooh,
for
boy.
Some reason that was a huge thing.
That's an exciting one.
A much bigger thing in the 1990s.
And there's also our weekly exploration of things that happened 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm talking, of course, about 2010, a pop culture time machine where you pick a certain week and talk about the news decades ago. It's always a ton of fun. I really enjoyed the one we just did talking about Project Aiko.
Ooh,
really good. But
I like that one.
And also, you can find me on Twitter, HENEREYG. I don't have an outlet to say that as much anymore, so I got to get it out there.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with the beautiful Lurleen Lumpkin. See you then.
Infotainment.